welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started here in a passage of Scripture. We're actually going to take a look at two Scriptures kind of side by side, if you will, to kind of see some interesting correlation as we delve into the message this morning. Jesus made a powerful declaration. He said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's powerful progression. You know, he starts with abiding and he ends with free. He says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. In other words, you're going to get there and you're going to stay there. As you do that, you're going to know the truth. And as you stay there, that truth is going to make you free. So we see a beautiful, almost a progression. You get the word of God. As you get in that word of God, you begin to know the word of God. That word know is know. It's an intimate word. No, it can mean a lot of different levels of know. But that level of know can carry that in that intimacy connotation too, where that word is in you. You know the word. You meditate in the word of God to where that word isn't just theology, but you know that word. It's something that becomes powerful in your life. Jesus said, you know, my words are spirit and they're life. Hebrew writer said the word of God is living, it's powerful. So it's not just words on paper, it's spiritual life. And so when you abide in that word, that life strengthens you in a way that you know the truth, and then that truth makes you free. Now we see kind of that freedom trajectory, but we see another trajectory too. This is as it relates to temptation. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. All right? So you can see that there's two trajectories here. There's a freedom trajectory, and there is a death trajectory. They both start out with a word. They both start out with a thought, with a suggestion. The freedom trajectory starts out with the word of God. That will lead you to freedom. There's another trajectory that starts out with desire that we all have. We all have bodies, fallen bodies that have the work of the flesh that we have to deal with, and we have desires. I'll say this a lot of times as I'm getting up every day in the morning. I'll say, good morning, body. I see you. I love you. I will nourish you and cherish you. I will take good care of you, but I am offering you up today as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I love you, but I don't trust you. I'm going to have to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, all right? You are going to be used today in the earth as an instrument of righteousness to bring glory to God. But it's a deliberate decision. I got to do that because I know this body's going to talk to me from the moment I get up to the time I go to sleep. And it's going to say some things that are right. It's going to say sometimes, hey, Ed, you're hungry. You're tired. You need something. And it's going to be right. And I have to get it. I have to feed it. And then it will also, it might, you know, see things, flesh, world, the devil. It might speak to me and say, let's eat some that, this or that. And you look at that and say, nope, that's not right. I'm not going to eat this or that. I'm offering this a living sacrifice. In other words, the body doesn't tell me what to do. I tell it what to do. But there's that daily battle that we have. And so we've got the word of God that's directing us into a place of freedom, but we also have the word that we can get through temptation, flesh, world, and the devil. You can kind of fill in that blank, however, and you know it's leading you to a trajectory that's wrong, all right? But there is progression here, and this is where I just want to, because this is where we're going to ultimately go to, I just want you to understand the process here. When you get to, before you get to freedom, you start with the word, and then you decide to stay in the word. Until you know that word, until you see something about that word, and you're free. The word gives you eyes to see stuff. You know, sometimes we'll use that phrase that you saw something and you can't unsee it. Well, the word doesn't cause you to unsee things. It causes you to see through things in a way that you realize, no, that's a bad trajectory. That's wrong. The word will give you eyes to understand. It'll divide your soul and your spirit. It'll help you have a perspective of what's right and wrong. But you have to abide in that word, and then it takes root. It takes hold. It, again, same way on the other side. You're drawn away by desires and enticed. In other words, something catches your attention, and this is the point. Am I going to offer my body a living sacrifice today? Am I going to, you know, make it accountable, or am I not? If I don't, I can let that desire or that suggestion entice me. If I let it entice me long enough, it's going to conceive. This is where you conceive things. This is where enticement leads to a plan. It leads to taking hold, it literally means, or conception. You'll see that enticement has that progression. All of a sudden, you begin plotting, thinking, conceiving, and then it gives birth to sin. That's when you act. That's when you begin to act out the thing that originally got it. And if you repeat that cycle enough, it begins to destroy things in your life, whatever that cycle of sin could be. But we see the similarity between freedom and death. They're very similar in how they work. And I love what Jesus said here. He just said, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, especially as I just think of this year and the political cycle that we're going through and the commercials and all the, it's just in the air, you know, the partisanship and the And you hear the arguments constantly back and forth and who's right and who's wrong and just the defending and all that stuff. It's just, it's the year, especially now that we're living in as we're getting closer to the election in November. And it can be easy to get caught up in it, for sure, and to get caught up in all that and to standing ground and different things like that. And we have a responsibility. We have a role as American citizens to be able to look at, you know, the government, the Bible says, you know, the Bible says that we are children of God, right? We're born of God. And the country that we live in is amazing. We're a country that is governed, it's of the people, the government is of the people, by the people, for the people, which means it's a representative government, which means a government that can represent you, which is a great thing. And so we do have a responsibility to pray for our government, to vote in a way that represents you as part of the representation in the earth and to find out what that is. But I'm going to just say this too. As we get into the season and the representative side and taking, you know, different positions and things like that, there is a bigger truth that comes through the words of Christ that is ultimately what is going to define and drive your life. He said, if you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. He didn't say the truth will make you right. He said the truth will make you free. Your freedom is evidence that you're right, but it makes you free. And again, in this year, especially politically, when we can get in that level of just debating right and wrong, it is important as believers that we do what Jesus said. We abide in his word in a way that that word takes hold of us, and the life of that word transforms us and empowers us to live free. So this morning, the message is, who's right? Who's wrong? Who's free? And as we're, again, getting ready to move out, we're going to begin to ask ourselves that question. Am I right? All right. Are you right? That's good. You know, Paul told Timothy a very powerful truth. He said, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you'll save yourself and those who hear you. Your doctrine is what you believe. There's two questions we should ask ourselves about our doctrine. Number one, are we living what we say we believe? And number two, how's that working out for you? The truth of God's word is so powerful. And it is ultimately what make us free. And this morning, as we're looking at that, who's right, who's wrong, who's free, we're going to break through to that third dimension of freedom. The Bible doesn't say that people are going to see your theology and glorify your Father in heaven. They're going to see your good works. They're going to see something about you that makes them want to be like you. There's going to be a freedom that you have. And so this morning, as we look at who's right, who's wrong, who's free, we're going to look and see that there is a what we call a spirit of freedom. All right, the scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds in the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds in the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. We've just got done saying the same thing another way. This is the Apostle Paul saying it this time. Before we were looking at what Jesus and James said, Paul is saying the same thing. Where you're setting your mind is going to be a trajectory. It's going to be a trajectory of death or a trajectory of life and peace. And it's important to understand that it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, I need the power of the Spirit to be able to do this. How do I get that power? How do I walk in the power of the Spirit? By setting my mind on the things of the Spirit. You think, well, that's just so simple. So is salvation. Very simple. And if salvation was going to be available for whosoever will, it had to be simple. If living for God was going to be available for whosoever will, it has to be simple. And a lot of times, after we become Christians, we can get really complicated about living for God. And as you begin to pursue God and continue in His Word, things begin to get more and more simple. What am I doing, God? I want to abide in Your Word until that Word brings truth and revelation in a way that makes me free. I'm going to set my mind on things above. Now, as we're talking about setting our mind on things above, it's important to understand there's a lot of ways we set our mind on things above. Coming to church on a Sunday morning is one way. Fellowship, listening to the Bible, listening to the Word of God, helping, ministering, having different outlets and forms of ministry, they're all different ways that we set our mind on things above. They're all different ways that we engage ourselves spiritually. And what happens there is that's when we get strengthened. That's when we get empowered. But it's important to understand when it comes to the spirit of freedom is that you are powered by that Spirit. You need that Spirit of freedom. We kind of covered this ground a few weeks ago, but how under the law, all you had was willpower and good intentions. That's not enough to live for God. You need something more than the law and willpower and good intentions. Or even whatever rules you want to put on yourself. That's not going to give you the power to get free from the law of sin and death. You need real power. This is why Christianity isn't fake. It's not phony. It's not words on paper. There's a real freedom. But it comes from a real law, the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. It's really there. And it's so simple. It's just simple setting your mind. And just this morning, just worshiping God, there's a spiritual strength that comes. It didn't come from good intentions. It came from the real Spirit of God really strengthening us. You know, when you think of this, maybe some of you grew up, I know this is a really old cartoon, but if you've ever saw an old cartoon of Popeye, the Sailor Man, you know, as he's going through, it's the same plot every time. Him and Olive Oil, his girlfriend, and Brutus comes along and steals his girlfriend. Then Popeye has to get his girlfriend back. All right, how they do that for years, that same plot, I don't know, but it's the same plot. But as he's coming after to get Olive Oil back from Brutus, Brutus is beating him up, and he's just like Popeye, you just know that he's just, it looks like it's lights out, but then you'll see on the corner of the screen a can of spinach. And you know if he can just get to that can of spinach, this whole thing's going to flip in a moment of time. And so you're just kind of, you're seeing, you're going through the same fight scene over and over, and you're just waiting, come on, where's the spinach? Come on, let's get the spinach on the scene. And then sure enough, somebody will squeeze a can, and it'll just float through the air, and he'll catch it in his mouth or something like that, or in his pipe and suck it through, I don't know. But then what happens when he gets a spinach? Then it's just lights out strong, and then Brutus is, getting knocked to the sky. Well, that's us too. As long as we are good intentions, law, I love God, I want to do the right thing, I want to, willpower, but we don't have the power of God. You're not going to be free from the law of sin and death. It's not about your personality. It's not about your persona. It's not about how much you can project or anything like that. The ability to really walk that where you get the word and the word gets in you and experience freedom, it's going back to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's going to be a bunch of little decisions that you make throughout your day. It's going to be, okay, God, the Spirit of God, my strength is in the Spirit of God. How do I do that? It's not a credential. It's nothing that I don't care. You can look at people. You can respect who they are and how they walk. Don't figure like some spiritual caste system. Whoever you are, you got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. That law of the Spirit of life lives in you. And you can begin to set your mind on things above. And I'll tell you what God will do when you get good at setting your mind on things above, he's just going to give you a bunch of different little avenues of setting your mind on things above. You know, when you golf, for any of you golfers out there, you know, you could technically get up and down that fairway with just a wood or a putter. It would be awkward. It would be frustrating. But you technically could plod your way down. It's nice to have clubs in your bag, though, isn't it? It's nice to have different clubs at different times. And that's what happens as you begin to walk in the Spirit. God begins to put clubs in your bag. He begins to show you different ways. There are different teachings. There are different things that you can listen to, music, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, things that are going to begin to connect you, that are going to begin to help set your mind on things above. Romans 10 puts it this way. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The point is, this is message, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. Kind of starts what we were saying before. It starts with hearing the word. When you hear the word, faith comes. When faith comes, you've got something to do. You can act on what it is that you're hearing. That faith produces. And so many times when we're right here, that setting your mind on things above is changing the subject. Because when you're carnally minded, you know, to be those who set their minds on the things of the flesh, live according to the flesh. And it goes on to say to be carnally minded is death. When you're in the middle of carnal mindedness, you can just choose to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You won't feel like it, but you do not lose your free will ability to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You don't have to wait for an inspired feeling. You won't feel inspired. This is faith when you set your mind on the things of the Spirit. This is where you get traction, though. This is where you no longer become afraid of your stuff. When you realize in the middle of carnal mindedness, all of a sudden, hey, I could still think on things above. I could change the channel to the Word of God. Yeah, it might be uncomfortable to your flesh. That doesn't matter. The Word of God is still there. The Spirit of God is still there. These are some points where the truth makes you free. How does it do that? When you make some of these decisions right here and say, hey, I'm setting my mind on things. But you haven't done that for years and years. Yeah, I know, but today I am. I'm changing today. I'm beginning to change the channel. I'm setting my mind. I'm going to listen to music. I'm going to listen to something that's going to change that trajectory from death to life. Because you can begin to tell when you're drifting in that trajectory of death. But God will begin to change that trajectory of life. But it starts with hearing something. All right? And then you have to make a decision. I love, these are just a couple of stories with the Apostle Paul in a couple times when he was preaching. The first one, it says, while they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He'd been that way from birth, so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Looking straight at him, Paul realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, "Stand up." And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. Now it's important to see what's going on here. Paul's preaching. He's preaching the word of God, and a man is listening. And as a man is listening, Paul perceives he has faith as a result of what he had heard preached. The Bible doesn't say that Paul realized it was God's will to heal the man. It doesn't say that. It said Paul realized something, though. He realized the man had faith to be healed. And then he responded to that faith. As you hear the word of God, we have a decision to yield, to submit, to declare, to agree with the word of God. But just because you hear it doesn't necessarily mean that you would agree. You know, here's another case where Paul, the Apostle Paul, was preaching. When they had appointed, a,
When they had appointed Paul a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets. From morning till evening, some were persuaded by the things which Paul spoken, and some disbelieved. Same word, and you can choose to accept it or reject it. This is where you can hear the word, and if you continue in the word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'm just challenging this morning, me this morning, all of us this morning, as we're offering our body a living sacrifice, and the body begins to speak something that we know isn't right, to begin to say, no, I'm not just going to go along the trajectory. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to say, no, I'm setting my mind on things above. Why? The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus is there. When you do that, that's not good intentions. That's an act of faith. When you, it can look like something in the natural. All I'm doing is, could be turning a channel, could be setting on your mind on some worship. It could be just picking up your Bible, looking at the Word. It can just seem like something very trivial in the natural, but it's powerful. You're making that decision. You know, when you turn on a light switch, there's very little effort to turn on that switch. But when you switch that, what's behind the switch? It's the power that comes through that powers the lights. And that's the way you begin to learn with God. It's like, man, this is just it's a decision to just choose that in the face of my yuck to still set my mind on things above. And the Spirit is still there. It will still strengthen me. It's not like I have to go from season of spiritual emotional inspiration to, you know, seasons of I don't feel it. It's just like no matter where you are at any time, you can set your mind on things above. Nothing has to get set up. Everything that needed to get set up was set up at the cross. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what makes us free from the law of sin and death. I'm waiting on nothing. There's just a decision to set my mind on things above. Praise God. There's a power and there's a strength of spirit that comes behind that. And this is something important that I just want to close this point off real quick as it relates to this. The Apostle Paul says, now I say this to each of you, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. It's important to understand as we're feeding on things and people and ministries and teachers and we're setting our mind and these are areas where God is using people and things like that. Man, there are people that I love, that I respect, ministries, but I can tell you something too, that these are things that we need to understand that even though I love a ministry and appreciate a ministry, I am not theirs. They are mine and I am Christ's and Christ is God's. In other words, Jesus is still the Lord of my life. There's ministries that have been very profound in my life, but they're not Lord of my life. I can appreciate as much as God draws out of different areas of ministries in my life, but, you know, they belong to me. I don't belong to them in that sense that there's not a lording, or even as a pastor, the scripture says, don't lord over the flock of God, feed the flock of God. So in that sense, I am yours. You know, we're here to feed the flock of God. You know, who you choose to, you know, come under as far as the church, that's your decision. That's the Holy Spirit. That's your guiding, you know. But you are Christ and Christ is God's. So as you're feeding and you're blessing, realize that's coming from Jesus. That's his ministry. That's his lordship. As he's leading you into green pastures and still waters, it's still coming under the lordship of his good shepherding you and leading and guiding you. So enjoy these things that have been set for us, teachings and different things like that. But at the same time, man, keep your heart clear and realize that this is all from the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's that spirit of freedom that we get simply by setting our mind on things above. We're just choosing to do that. There's also a voice of freedom. The Apostle Paul said, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I've believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Praise God. You believe, and therefore you speak. There is something you say and declare. I love when Jesus asked his disciples, you know, he didn't say, who do you think I am? He said, who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm sure there were some other apostles that were thinking, man, I thought the same thing too. But Peter said it. He declared it. There is something powerful about speaking and declaring your faith. It's unique in this way. When you speak the word of God, like just say, for example, we are declaring every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. It engages my physical body. As I'm declaring it, faith is coming. I'm hearing. My soul is engaged, listening to what I'm saying. And as my soul is engaged and listening to what I'm saying, the spirit within me is bearing witness that it's true. It engages your whole person when you begin to declare the word of God. It's not a rat-tat-tat, you know, vain repetition thing. It's something that you're saying in faith. You believe, therefore, I speak. In other words, I'm not just speaking into the air. I believe something, therefore, I'm speaking it. I'm declaring it. I'm fighting what Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. When you're feeling that pull, and you offered your body a living sacrifice, and your body's going the other direction, it's like, I don't want to fight. I'm tired. You know, there's an exhortation. Am I going to lay down? Am I going to roll over? Am I going to fight the good fight of faith? There is a fight of faith that we have right here. We're talking about continuing in the Word. You can hear the Word, but if you're going to continue in the Word, you will have a fight on your hands. Because the enemy comes immediately to steal that Word, to distract away from that Word. And when you begin to know, I'm going to keep this word before me until it changes me, until I experience the power and the life that's in this word. But he says, fight the good fight of faith. Now, we think of today and this weekend. If I was to say September 3rd, yay for September 3rd, the 3rd of September, you'd be thinking, well, who cares? What about the 3rd of September? Well, the 3rd of September is when the Treaty of Paris was signed in 1783, and England backed off and recognized our independence. We don't care about that day. That's not when we celebrate our independence. When do we celebrate our independence? 4th of July, 1776. Why? Why is that our birthday? That's when we declared it. That's when we stood for it. That's when we chose to fight for it. There is a fight of faith as you continue in the Word. There is a fight of faith to go back and say, okay, I'm going back. I'm going back to the Word of God. And this is where faith really does begin to grow, because you know you. And you know your history of walking with God. And sometimes it's almost like, you know, you go for a while, or you might have seasons where you're strong, seasons where you're weaker. Maybe you break through something, and then you go back, and then all you know. We can kind of play games sometimes with our walk with the Lord, and how much we're going to do, and how much we're going to invest, and different things like that. But man, when you're continuing on to freedom, there is something that changes. There's something about breakthrough that there's a decision that changes here where I'm going on, and it's not about fatigue. It's not about tiredness. It's about realizing, hey, I don't have to be talked out of continuing in the Word of God. I can fight this good fight of faith. I'm not going to give up on it. And as I'm walking, as I'm fighting that good fight of faith, I'm making the decision. I'm going on. I am not going to allow myself to be talked out of victory, out of freedom. But as you're kind of going through seasons of life and you're going through things, you usually live for God all out, and then your flesh is going to say something to you. You're doing really good. Wow, you've never even been this far before. You deserve a break. Good job. Man, we'll give it another good run in a few more years, but I just want to tell you what you've done is phenomenal here. This is where we end up in fighting the good fight of faith, negotiating with yourself and your flesh. And this is where things can be relative. Well, I'm doing better than so-and-so. I did better than that. And I'm relative. When all of a sudden all the relative stuff has to go away, no, freedom is what I want. I'm going to continue till I'm free, till I see through it, till that thing doesn't have a hold on me anymore. You know, when Jesus told those guys, he said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. They said, we're descendants of Abraham. We've never been anybody's slaves. He said, he who commits sin is a slave to sin. But he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's not about how it looks in church. It's not about how you can, appearances. He's talking about a real freedom. And that's what the Word of God is talking to us about too. For who's right, who's wrong, who's free? There is a call that's going to bring you into a place of freedom. I'm going to fight that good fight of faith. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having done all to stand, take the mighty razor sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. There is that speaking and declaring the word of God. So you're going to kind of get in some of these places where, you know, you're negotiating with your flesh, then all of a sudden, negotiations have to be off. I'm not negotiating. No, I'm taking a stand in Jesus' name. I have the right to decide still to choose to set my mind on things above. Everything in my being may be saying, no, you still haven't lost your right to decide. What is that? You're fighting the good fight of faith. And the cool thing about that is when you win some of those battles and you come through that and it's like, oh, the law, you know, sometimes I've come through this accidentally where I've been frustrated and, you know, just feeling sorry for myself. And I go in the car and turn on the car and all of a sudden a powerful song comes on. And all of a sudden, wow, yeah, wow, that's just right. I'm singing along. And then within a couple minutes, man, I'm back in the spirit again. What happened? I accidentally set my mind on things above. Well, praise God that I happen to have everything going in that. But I didn't need for it to be an accident either, right? There, I can do what happened accidentally intentionally. There was no inspiration. It just so happened. But I can make that same decision. Set your mind. And that's where we do realize that there is a fight of faith in that. And we see the example of Jesus. Satan took him to the high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the world, said to him, all these things I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me, negotiating there. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. When you're in these places too, of where it's frustrating, and you really, you know, in your inside you want to be free, but yet everything in your soul just wants to cave, there's that feeling, that pressure. This is what is so important to do exactly what Jesus did. You go to the Word of God. Don't try to be clever here. Don't try to feel inspired here. You know, the Lord told me that several times. He said, Ed, stop trying to be spiritual and go where spiritual is. Go to the Word. The Word of God is powerful. It is living. Even though you don't feel like doing what the Word of God says, if you'll simply declare what the Word of God says, there is power in that Word that'll strengthen you on the inside and change your want to. It'll change your focus, change your heart. So what are we talking about? We're talking about this inflection point. There's a place where we're choosing to set your mind on things above. There's a place where you're having to choose to also just declare. And some of the practical ways we do that, you know, be filled with the Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. We did that this morning. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, who says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I don't think we're talking about trying to actually move physical mountains, but there are mountains here in your heart, in your mind, where you're feeling this inflection point, I can't, that's a mountain. That's where you can begin to speak to it, and you can begin to declare it and say, no, I will not be drugged down by that fear. I'll not be drugged down by that victim complex. I will not be drugged down in Jesus' name. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm not trying to be inspirational. I'm just agreeing with the word of God because it is powerful and it is true. And it is that sharp sword of the Spirit that I need to take on myself to overcome some of those things. But it's powerful to see that and to see that we have that power of freedom in the word of God to begin to declare and say what the word of God says. And so there is what we're calling simply, you know, that voice of freedom where we're giving voice to those things. And then finally, I'll simply be what I call the fellowship of freedom, okay? And this is really really the sweet spot here. Because when you get into these points where you're continually trying to, you know, stay on the spirit side of life and walk in the spirit and continue in the spirit, this is where beautiful fellowship is born out of. This is where your walk with God is so wonderful. You know, a preacher on a Sunday morning can preach the Word of God. And a lot of times what we'll say, there's what the sermon you're hearing the preacher say, and then there's the second sermon of the Holy Spirit. All right? That's what the Holy Spirit is saying about what the preacher's saying. And this is where fellowship comes in such a powerful way. The scripture says, just a couple of fellowship passages here. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God. You'll begin to sense His grace. In other words, I'm in this place and I'm taking that stand, but I'm not here alone. God is here with me. God is in the room with me. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Man, this is also that place when we're in this inflection point to set our mind on things above, to declare those things above, to swing the sword of the Spirit. This is that place where we also realize that we're not alone here. Jesus is here. We can fellowship with Him. We can talk to Him about the things that we're feeling and the things that we're experiencing. We can begin to fellowship with Him. Lord, give me wisdom. How do I deal with this situation? How do I handle that relationship situation? Or how do I handle this financial situation? Or whatever that might be. Give me grace. Give me wisdom, Father. Or Lord, I want to just be strong. I want to be free from this addiction. I want to be free from this pull. Lord, give me grace. Show me. The Lord said, you know, make a straight path for your feet so that that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Lord, I pray for a straight path. Show me a good straight path that I can follow that's going to be healing for my feet, healing for my life. There's a fellowship that happens here. But I love what Jesus says. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. He doesn't say, if your house is clean, open the door. He just says, if you hear my voice, open the door. And again, that's our tendency. We want to get the house cleaned up, and then we're going to let him in and show off the house. Not at all. He knows the house in every state it's always in. All things are naked and open before him. But this is where we're saying, Lord, come in. I'm going to begin to fellowship. I'm not going to wait and get cleaned up. I'm engaging now in fellowship with God. I need wisdom here. I need help. I need strength. You know, this is where there's a fellowshipping to freedom. And then finally, the throne of grace that we talked about here at communion, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is a place of fellowship. There is a place of hanging out. And I just want to touch base a little bit more. Sometimes you can find yourself in that place of fellowship where you're hanging out and it's like, wow, this is so good. Just getting my heart clear with God. And in the middle of your fellowship with God, you can be interrupted. You could be distracted. You could have a bad thought. You could have all of a sudden. And it's like, what am I going to do? Am I going to get off track? Am I going to get derailed on that? I just want to give you something practical this morning. Because I've heard preachers preach about this, walking with God in prayer and fellowship, different things like that. But there is a real practical way you can walk this out. Because I'll tell you, when you begin to fellowship with God and different things like that, the enemy does try to distract. So in other words, I heard the knock at the door. I let him in. We're sharing a meal together. We're having fellowship. Things are going good. And I remember just in that, you know, one time just as I was just fellowshipping with God, and I'm just literally walking down a road, all of a sudden, I saw this picture of me and Jesus sitting at the table enjoying this meal together as I was rejoicing in my fellowship with him. And then all of a sudden, I just had this kind of out of the blue thought, bad thought, hit my head. Could be fear. I couldn't remember exactly what it is right now. But it was a thought. And then all of a sudden, in my mind, in my picture, it was like I heard another knock at the door. And Jesus was sitting at the table, and he just looked at me. And it's like, are you going to get that? You know, I could tell. He didn't say anything. He was just kind of like looking at me. And I thought, nope, I'm not going to get that knock at the door. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to fellowship. So many times when you're fellowshipping with God, there can be distractions, and you don't have to bring closure to every distracting thought. You can just say, okay, now where was I? And just pick up where you left off in your fellowship with Jesus. You can. That's how you cast down an imagination sometimes. You're going to walk through it on the other side and pick up where you left off with Jesus. You don't have to get all complicated, and you can just make it simple. Now, Lord Jesus, where were we? Oh, yeah. What am I doing? I'm just fellowshipping with him. He's in the room. I love him. He's for me. He's with me. Praise God. And then he'll begin to lead and guide me into all truth by his Spirit. So as we're talking about who's right, who's wrong, who's free, you know, this morning, I just really wanted to bring it back to just this place. Our freedom that we have today, that we enjoy, it was fought for. It was realized. There was a high price that was paid for it. And we enjoy it today. And there's a freedom that we walk into. There's a freedom in the Word of God. And there's a freedom that we're just going to be taking that stand. That spirit of freedom where I'm choosing in the middle of any calls of the flesh, world, and the devil, I'm going to keep my mind on things above, whatever that means. Remember, this is simple. It's not my intellectual capacity. It's a simple decision. Regardless of how smart you are, regardless of social status, regardless of any, this levels the playing field. It's a heart decision. I feel this, I see this, but I choose Jesus. Anybody can do that. Anybody can. Anybody can be a spiritual giant for the Lord when you just make that simple decision. I'm setting my mind on things above no matter what. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of pride and a lot of junk that falls off in the process of doing this. There's a voice of freedom. That's where I don't just think it, believe it. Because I believe, therefore I speak it. I declare it. I engage my being. I swing that sword of the Spirit. I experience the power that Jesus did when he resisted the enemy. And then there's the fellowship of freedom. That's where I'm hanging out with the Lord. There's some things, you know, this walk can be messy. Messy in our faith. There's things that we work through in the sweet table with Jesus as we're just letting him know our heart and asking him for wisdom, getting his guides, but getting familiar with his voice. I'll tell you, there's something about hearing his voice that makes everything okay, all right? Even though I don't know how this thing's going to end, if I'm dialoguing with him, we're good. He's with me. He's for me. And I know that he's going to get me where he wants me to be. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that there is a real life of freedom in you, that there's a real place that we can come before your throne of grace, that we can find mercy and grace to help. And I just pray for each one here this morning. I just pray, Father, in that walk of freedom, as they're just endeavoring to live out the faith that's in their heart, that you will just begin to guide them by your Spirit, Lord, and just show them what that looks like. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I desire in my heart to be free, to take the truth of your word and to continue in it, to set my mind on it and allow your Spirit to give me revelation, to give me strength, to give me eyes to see through things and strength to walk in things, to walk into freedom, to wholeness. I thank you, Father, for the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, this is where we thought of time to say you have a personal relationship with Jesus. This is where your personal relationship is personal between you and him and where you begin to walk this out with him. But there is no greater thing than this walk with Jesus being real in your life. And this morning, we're just talking about some of these inflection points. When you got that battle going on, to side with the Spirit and to experience, yeah, it's real. And when your flesh begins to negotiate and says, you deserve a break today, no, I'm going to continue to go on until I am free indeed. That is the design, the desire, and the hope of God for all of us. Amen. Praise God.